Thank you. Okay. Can you hear me? Just the off? Okay. Okay, so let's start. I just got some, it's interesting as a monk, you get all these emails sometimes. My people want to know about meditation, how to get the meditation together. And I was just responding to one email just recently. This fellow who was saying that he gets too tense in meditation practice. And I think that is a very common problem. People get tense, they can't really relax. And if they start to relax, they find that they're slumping or they get tired or they have a very difficult time finding that balance, you know, either too tense or too relaxed in a sense. So why is that? Why is it so hard to find the balance between tension and relaxedness, neither, you know, trying to avoid both the sloth, the tiredness, and also the restlessness or the tension in the body? And the reason basically is that basically a lack of mindfulness. If the mind is really present here and now, if you have clarity in the present moment, then actually it's quite natural to sit straight. You sit straight naturally, and the mind is clear. And you find this in the suttas. The Buddha says this all the time. Whenever he starts a sutta or meditation practice, it always starts with sitting straight and also establishing mindfulness. They always go together. When mindfulness is there, then a straight position is natural. So really the answer is that if you want to sit properly, you want to be relaxed, and you want the meditation to function, then mindfulness is really a prerequisite. And by mindfulness, we mean a certain strength of mindfulness, right? The stronger the mindfulness, the better and the more easy it's going to be. So how do we give rise to mindfulness? And the answer there is the usual answer. The more pure-hearted you are, the more pure you are, the more mindfulness you're going to have. There's always a question, how can we then improve the purity? If you can improve the purity of your heart, the goodness of your heart, then you will also have more mindfulness. These things go together. And that's why I often like to try to bring some of the meditation back to metta meditation, the loving kindness, because this is really a way of purifying yourself, making yourself more soft, having less rigidity, less kind of irritations, but also less tiredness, less restlessness. All these things go together. So if you want to achieve that mindfulness, then some degree of loving kindness meditation is very useful to incorporate in your practice. I just want to give you again some reminders of how to go about doing loving kindness meditation. And one of the problems often with loving kindness meditation, we may choose one person as our object, but sometimes when you choose a particular person, one of the problems is that a whole personality includes so many different aspects of personality. Some of those aspects are not going to be so good, other aspects are going to be very beautiful. But because you have this whole range, the mind can often tend to be unstable as to what it's focusing on. So often, it is actually better not to take a specific personality in a meditation practice. But instead, think of, as it says in the sutta, think of a particular direction, like the northern direction. And then you imagine in the northern direction, there's all these people living to the north of here. And among all that large population, there's bound to be a large number of people who are really good people. People with good hearts, people who are pure, right? This idea of purity again. People with good hearts, generous, kind. And then when you make up people like that who are anonymous, who don't have a face, who don't mean anything to you, who just happen to live in a particular direction, if you use that, then there is no kind of different types of qualities which makes the mind unstable. You can see somebody who is just perfectly pure and good at heart. This is one way of being able to focus on somebody who is on those good qualities. And that is so important. It's so important to actually find, to be able to focus on the good qualities in somebody. These are spiritual good qualities, right? Why is it so important? Because when you look at somebody who is a good person, then they will be worthy of kindness. They will be worthy of having metta. You want to wish them well, right? If somebody truly is good, it's quite easy to wish them well. If you see somebody's bad qualities, it can be very hard to wish them well because you think, oh, this person is not really worthy. You have to feel that they are worthy of your kindness. The moment somebody really is worthy of your kindness, it's relatively easy to wish them well. So this is like the clue here, the trick, to trick the mind into perceiving the worthiness of that person. Once you see that, then when you say, may you be well, it can actually come from your heart, right? You can really mean it. May you be well, may you be happy. And then it actually functions, actually works. It becomes something inside of you that actually functions. So this is kind of the clue to metta meditation, to make the object worthy of metta, to make the object worthy of your kindness, of your well-wishing. When the object is worthy, then you can say it from your heart. May you be happy, may you be well. Okay, so let's just see if we can make this work in practice, not only in theory. So let's try to do a bit of meditation together here. Okay, so just start off as usual, just by relaxing for a few moments and finding a nice posture for yourself. Make sure that the whole body is nice and relaxed, that you have no tensions anywhere. And if you have some tensions, then make sure that you release those completely, so you feel really at ease before you move on in your meditation practice. Do whatever you have to do just to feel at ease. And if at any time during the meditation you find yourself tensing up in any way, then just go back to the beginning and just relax again. to start off the meditation by allowing yourself to become peaceful. And again, this is always just by allowing things to be, accepting the moment as it is, just allowing things to settle down by themselves. Just feel how wonderful it is to be here, to have nothing to do, no responsibilities, no family, no house, no work, nothing here. All you have to do is to sit peacefully and still. What a wonderful thing that is. Delight in that, rejoice in that. Then you start to find the beauty of meditation there. now imagine a particular direction from here, say the northern direction, and just remind yourselves that in the north there are so many people out there, so many beautiful people with good hearts, who are generous, kind, compassionate, full of love. So many people like that out there. Imagine those people in your mind's eye. And as you see them, you recognize that these people are worthy of happiness and worthy of your good intention. And wish all those people well. May you be well. May you be happy. you find that you need to try again to reinforce the feeling of metta and move your mind to a different direction. And try again, remind yourself of all the good people out there. Don't use any force, don't use any willpower. Just allow the image of lots of beautiful people to arise in your mind. And when you feel inspired by their goodness, by their pure-heartedness, then wish them well, very gently, very carefully. No force. Just allow it to happen almost by itself. bring your attention around to the southern direction. You can include the Bodhinyana Monastery, if you like, all the monks practicing down there. And again, imagine all the people to the south. And imagine that some of the specific act of kindness that these people do. And imagine the kind of beautiful mind state that goes with those acts. May all those people down there, all those beautiful, pure-hearted people, may you be well, may you be happy. Bring your attention around to the eastern direction. And in the east, take in the Nasara Monastery and all the nuns up there. And all the people out there, all the wonderful, beautiful people everywhere where they exist in the eastern direction. May you all be well. May you all be happy. bring your attention back into this room, to all the people around you, and just reflect how wonderful it is to be with a group like this, a group of outstanding people with wonderful qualities in many different ways. I wish all of these beautiful people around you, every one of them, may you be happy and well, may you find true peace and contentment in your life. then, last of all, bring the attention back to yourself. And each one of you here, every one of us here, we wouldn't be here unless we were remarkably good people, with lots and lots of good qualities. So acknowledge those good qualities. See the goodness in yourself. And then wish yourself well. May I too be happy, content, and at peace. Okay, any questions anybody has before we move on? Everybody happy here? Yeah? Okay. Okay, good. So let's take two questions here from both from overseas. We have one from France, Stefano in France. He's saying, in a previous video on meta-meditation, you suggested that we visualize a particular person whose spiritual qualities we admire, and said that we should not imagine making eye contact with him or her. Could you please explain why that is so? Okay. Well, the idea, of course, first of all, the idea of having somebody whose spiritual qualities you admire is, again, it's easy to wish somebody well if we admire their spiritual qualities. You know, they are good, they are kind, and all these kind of things. So that is one reason. But once you make if you make direct eye contact with somebody, it becomes too personal, right? The idea is to have a sense of distance to the object. So you are kind of observing somebody, you are seeing somebody, but they're not seeing you. So you remain kind of detached. The idea is that metta meditation is also was a detached kind of meditation, whereby you are just observing. You're not actually attaching. There's no desire. There's no involvement with the other person. There's a sense of distance there. So you can see the other person, but they cannot see you. And that's why, in a sense, there's no direct eye contact with them. So this is very different from ordinary kind of love that two people might have for each other, or even family kind of love you have within a family, for example. Okay, the second one is question number two from Nelu from Romania. It seems to me that a lot of people are meditating to have nimittas and to attain jhana. But Ajahn Chah said that we meditate to let go of things, not to get more things. What are the things that he's talking about that we have to let go of? Okay, that's a good question. So, and of course, the idea of getting a nimitta or getting a jhana is no different from the idea of letting go. Right? They're just two sides of the same coin. If you want to get a jhana, then you don't go for the jhana. You actually do the letting go, and then it happens in that sense. So the things that you have to let go of are basically pretty much everything, right? You have to, when you sit down and you start to meditate, you are letting go of trying to control, trying to do things. This is the first thing. We just learn to be still. Learning to be still means learning not to do anything at all. And part of that doing is the activity of the mind, right? The mind moving is part of that doing, the willing, if you like. So that is one of the important things, to be peaceful, to learn to let go of the willing. And of course, we're also learning, in a sense, in meditation, to let go of the body, not to feel the body, including the five senses. So we can actually kind of withdraw into ourselves. The world can become distant. And part of that is by closing your eyes, right? When you close your eyes, you're already reducing the sense impingement enormously. And that already is a way to make you more peaceful. Sense impingement becomes less. There's less disturbance on the mind. So you close the eyes to shut that out. The less the senses are involved, the more peaceful you feel inside. So these are the things that we have to let go of. Body, will, senses, and gradually we could become calm through that. But one of the important things that people often ask is, how do we let go of these things? What is the kind of the method for letting go of these things? Because often we try to let go, right? But actually trying is almost like the opposite of letting go. We don't let go by trying. There's another way. And the way that this is explained by the Buddha is that you let go when you see the disadvantage in something, when you see the suffering in something. So if you are able to understand the suffering in the body, that it is a problem, then it's easier to let go of the body. If you understand the suffering, always having a mind that moves around of using the will, if you understand the dukkha, the suffering in that, it's easier to let go. And one way of understanding the suffering is, of course, to have some experiences in meditation practice, right? When the meditation becomes deeper, you don't have these things, you realize it's happy, that's part of the insight which leads you to be able to let go of these things in the future. It's a mixture of contemplating that these things are suffering and realizing through experience that actually that is true. So, and also just the very practice of the spiritual path, seeing the happiness that comes through practicing a good life, morality, generosity, all these things, that happiness which is there also helps you to let go of the body, let go of the will. Why? Because your happiness is invested in something else. It's not no longer invested in doing things and in experiencing the world. Once you have happiness invested in the spiritual qualities, you can let go more easily of the happiness that comes through the worldly things, right? That makes sense. You've got a happiness somewhere. You can't just live a completely dry life. You need to have some sort of happiness. So this is the idea here. You let go of some happiness and you have something else more profound in its place. So I hope that makes sense, Neluha, and that you're happy with that. Anything else anybody wants to like to add or say? Anybody happy? Okay, let's pray.